Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4, from the depths. My prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of Psalter 365. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 11 through verse 32. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We announced that Mr. and Mrs. Eric Slingerland from our Calgary branch were blessed with the birth of a well-born girl in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, who can rightly draw nigh to thee? For thou art holy, and we are unholy, and thou knowest all that lives in our heart, not only what comes from our mouth and from our lips. And we enter into this morning in the way of thy goodness and long-suffering, in thy calm and grace, into thy holy sanctuary, that place that thou dost provide for us and for our children, that we may be enabled to come up Sabbath after Sabbath day and to acknowledge thee, who that thou art, even unto us, who are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or thy attention. And it is so, Lord, for each and every one of us, though And that most of the time we do not see it and we do not feel it rightly. Oh, that thou may also open our eyes, each and every one of us, for the first time or by renewal. That we may not go on anymore in our sin. But wilt thou give us to loathe ourselves before thee. Oh, that thou may give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. As thy servant did say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I do repent and abhor myself in dust and in ashes. O Lord, look upon us, each and every one, if we will never be brought by thee to that place, then it will be ill with us for a never-ending eternity. And we go on careless, even as those who are dead in sins and in trespasses and who are without hope and without God in this world, having not a care and not a concern, though that we do grow up under the means of grace. Lord, then it is evident that we need an almighty power. Then it is evident that Arminius was so wrong. O Lord, then it is evident that thou must be the first one to raise us from the dead and to grant to us a living heart. A life that longs, that hungers and thirsts for thee as the hart panteth for the brooks of water. Oh, wilt thou grant that life then this day? It is thy day, O Lord. It is thy institution. It is a holy institution. And thou dost say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, could thou show it also in this very morning hour, that even though that we deserve to be left to ourselves, oh, could it please thee to remember us with our children, and to take thou us by heart and by hand, and to lead us to forsake the world and every former friend, and that our hearts may go out unto the true and to the living God again. Thou dost say concerning thy church, I will cause thee to inherit substance. And thou knowest that our hearts by nature, they do look after the vanity and all the emptiness that is passing away. But that substance which thou dost declare in thy holy word, and that we have no desire for of ourselves. But, Lord, this is life eternal, thou sayest, that they might know thee. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and that is a life, and that does begin here already upon this world. Oh, that is substance that will be felt in the moment of that new birth. Oh, faith that is born there. Oh, that is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And what a treasure that is given unto thy church from thee. Lord, because if thou art for us, then who can be against us? Oh, that thou may grant us then that desire, that we also may be partakers of that life, and of all the blessings that thou dost bestow upon thy true church. Oh, that we may even be as that queen of Sheba of old, and that from a far country did hear of the wisdom of Solomon, and that did come from a long distance with a desire in her heart, that she may hear him. Oh, greater than Solomon is here. And then if we have no regard to thee, then she shall testify against us and against our children. Lord, we beseech it of thee, thou who art almighty, and thou who art also merciful, thou art also just. Oh, thou hast put
that a payment upon thine only begotten Son. And he has, as that scapegoat, has carried it all away into the wilderness. Oh, give thy people and I also to behold something of it in this day, that there may be a little comfort, that the meek may be given to eat and to be satisfied, and that that blessed portion that thou hast laid away for thy people and may be the desire and the longing of their heart more and more. Oh, that the weight of sin that may increase, and that the desire to be gone and to be with thee that may increase. Lord, that thou may remember thy people. Oh, that they may forsake all that is here below, and that their eye may be directed unto thee continually, that they may have a life that is as a light upon a candlestick and a city upon a hill, that may be seen in the midst of the congregation and in the midst of the community amongst whom we dwell, and that it may be a testimony here below in this world of a people of whom the world is not worthy, and that there may be also a drawing of the heart of those who may feel something day by day of all the emptiness of everything that is here below. Oh, that they may also desire with the Ruth of all thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, that the hunger and the thirst may draw them from the Moab of this world, and that we may be given, though the afflictions of thy church and the tribulations are so very many, and that triple-headed enemy that does seek to quench that fire. Oh, Lord, that there is nothing that is able to put it out. Oh, that the desires may also be born in the midst of us, of young and old. Look thou upon the children. Oh, we cannot give anything to ourselves, and we cannot give anything to our youth and to our children. And Satan goes about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light. Then he would take their hearts to that everlasting destruction. Oh, the drawing, Lord, and that our natural heart is so privy to, that our children also do have in their heart. Oh, that thou may work a miracle this day, and that thou may instruct them in all thy truth and give them to remember their Creator while they are in the days of their youth. And do look upon all those that are afflicted, that are sick, that are old and ailing, and all that have needs of the mind and of the body, oh, that do suffer all the consequences of sin in this world, to a greater measure, help, O Lord. And though we don't deserve it, yet thou still, in the way of thy common grace, still grantest thy blessings and thy mercies. Oh, that thy goodness also may be experienced and that may lead to true repentance. And do help us as fathers and as mothers to bring up our children in thy fear. Oh, take us all together by heart and by hand this day. Oh, give thy word free course, Lord. By nature then our heart is as hard as the nether millstone, and there is no place in us for to receive that great blessing. Oh, but we beseech it of thee, that thou would break our heart and our stony hearts. Could it please thee for the first time in our life, that we could not but break out and smite upon our breast and say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that we could not remain in that city of destruction any longer wherein we have been born. But that we, even though we do not know which way to run, oh, that we may seek, that we may be delivered from our misery. Oh, hear us, Lord, take us undeservedly for thy own account. and to remember thy dear children to feed them from above. Oh, that they who are the apple of thine eye, but against whom that triple-headed enemy does aim all the sharpest of his arrows. Oh, that thou may look upon them this day, and that thou may grant them an undeserved blessing in thy house of prayer. Help all thy truly sent servants. Oh, do put away hypocrisy and all that is false, and all that religion that is corrupting thy holy word and thy testimony unto fallen men. Oh, that thou may raise up men in thy favor to send them forth to bring thy truth unto the ends of this world, that those who have never heard who Adam is, who have never heard who God is, and who have never heard that truth concerning thy only begotten Son, all young and old, great and small, who are lying in their ignorance of hedonism, oh, we beseech thee, Lord, to have mercy upon thy creation, and could it please thee to bring thy word also unto them and to the far corners of this world. Glorify thy name in the conversion of sinners. Be with us too. Forsake us not because of our sins and because we are so backslidden in the ways of this world. Though we have had thy truth for so many years, and we have no desire therefore, Lord, forsake us not. Take not away thy candlestick from us, but could it please thee to renew thy Spirit's work, that there may be a revival amongst us and amongst our children, in our denomination, in our congregations, in our families, in our schools. Oh, thou alone art able. Do it, Lord. Do it for the sake of thy own great and holy name. Look upon the little child that has been born in this past week into this sin-cursed world. Oh, strengthen the mother and child. Humble the parents. And, oh, give that it may be a child born to be born again, and that thy Spirit may work therein, in her and in all of our children and youth. Be with us, help us, Lord. Stand on our right and on our left this morning hour. Oh, give us words to speak, and give the matter to burn in our heart, for we are dying creatures. Oh, do it for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me, shame me not before their sight. We announce that Mr. Ben Van Hagenbos wishes to join himself to our congregation from the RCNA at Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory by March the 8th. Psalter 64, all stanzas.
Congregation, when did the Bible become necessary? That was in the day of our fall. Because it is in that day that we lost the knowledge of God. And if we were to gain that knowledge of Him again, then it would be necessary that He would reveal Himself unto His creature. What has He revealed in the Bible? He has revealed that He is our Creator, and that we have fallen away from Him, and that He has made a way back. Do we have a desire for this? That way back again? What is that way back? How is it possible to come back? We have heard something of this. We have heard something of this in the life of the prodigal. How did he come back? How was he received again? It was in the way of repentance and in the way of grace. That is now the substance of the Bible. That is from Genesis unto Revelation. Could that way be easier? Is that congregation not so simple? The way of repentance and the way of grace. Is it not so free? Is it not without money and without price? Does it exclude the chiefest sinner? Or why is it? Why is it that so many that may read the Bible, that may have that way proclaimed, why is it that so many, young and old together, do yet remain outside of that communion? Outside of that favor, when it is actually so easy and so free, it is because we have no desire to be reconciled. And it is because we have no desire for this way of reconciliation. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is the cause? Do you believe that this is what lies within your own heart by nature? May the Lord open our eyes to it. Out of the words of our text in consideration for this morning hour with the Lord's help, Luke 15, the 28th verse. Luke 15. Verse 28, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So far the words of our text. The elder son's enmity against the free grace of his father. First, the cause of this enmity. And second, the fruit of this enmity. The elder son's enmity against the free grace of his father. The cause of this enmity, and he was angry. And second, the fruit of this enmity, and would not go in. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. This elder son congregation, he was, we read, in the field. And to whom does the Lord Jesus point? And by this elder son, he is pointing in a special way to the Pharisees and to the scribes. Pharisees and the scribes, and they are in the field also. They are in the field of the outward, of the external church. That is that field in which God's word, in which the kingdom of the Father, in that field in which that kingdom that is being propagated, that is being preached day by day. That is the field that you and I are also in. In that field of that holy word of God. That field of God's house. That is a place of very close proximity to the kingdom of God and to God himself. That is, young people, this is the house of the Lord. And humanly speaking and outwardly speaking, this is the closest place that a man may come in this world unto God. Because the Lord promises and has established that house and those ordinances in a special way there to meet his creature, to meet his people. That's that place where the Lord is working, where the Lord is pleased to dwell, the place where the Lord, he is revealing himself in this world. Do we desire to be in that field? How is the children, young people? Do we desire to be in this field? Or is it only because mother and father, they say you must come along, and they do take you by their hand, that you say, as soon as I am able, that I am going to flee this field? Every day this elder brother, he is working for his father. He is working in that field, and he is not a slothful son. No, he is a very diligent son. He is a very faithful son. He is nothing like his younger brother, no, who has departed far away from his father and who has gone away from that field. And there he is wasting his substance with riotous living. No, this brother, he is very different. We must be careful how that we interpret this parable and all parables, because a parable that has a main message, and there are many particulars that may be brought over concerning that a true church of God, but it is possible also that a parable will be abused. We must never We must never look in a positive way at the departure from the church and from the truth. Over against a conscientious and an externally pious walk in this world. As if you would say, young people, to yourself, was it not now the younger son who was converted by the Lord? Was it not the younger son? Was it not him who has departed from his father? Was it not him who has gone to live it up in this world, to live out all the desires of his heart? Was he not the one that received the blessing of the Lord? That we see this in a certain positive light. That is not the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is contrary to what we read in God's holy word. Because Paul, he says that there are those who say, let us do evil that good may come. And what does he say of that people? He says, whose damnation is just. No, the Lord, he has given means. And the reason that he has given those means is for the conversion of mankind. Oh, how much grief that is not in the life of those prodigals. How much grief in those later years that they have to speak about their sin with many tears. But what does now the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says that it is still possible that we are so close, and that we still miss the kernel. That we still miss the blessing. He says it is still possible that in an outward way, we come our whole life long, we come and we go from the place of the holy. It is possible that all our life long, we are in that field. And yet we lack everything. We lack everything that is actually substance. We lack everything that is actually necessary in our life. Is that congregation not most sad? Or is that not the case of those who the Lord Jesus says they will stand at the door, a closed door one day, and they shall knock, and it shall not be opened unto them? Ought we not, each one of us, to examine our own hearts? Because are not we also among those who could be elder brothers? Outwardly in that house of God all our life long, and yet miss that substance. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. This son, he was hard at work. That was a good thing. But he was completely outside of the rejoicing that was taking place in the house of his Father. Is that your case too? That you say, and maybe you hear it sometimes, maybe sometimes you have heard it, when there may be one, when there may be another, and then they may tell something of what the Lord has done in their life. When their heart may live out of those blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon them so undeservedly. And then you may hear them Oh, you may hear in their weeping. You may hear even in their tears. Oh, you may hear in their words that there is a rejoicing. Oh, then they may be so glad. Then there is music, then there is dancing. No, not the kind that this world is seek after, but that the kind that the Lord He is giving in the life of His own church. Oh, then there is a church that is singing. There is a church that is rejoicing. And you? Oh, yes, you are in the church too. And you have heard your whole life. Yes, you are in that field, but you are so on the outside of this. And neither does this elder son actually understand this rejoicing and asked what these things meant. No, he cannot understand it. Oh, he can hear that there is singing. But he does not know the reason for that singing. And he cannot enter into that singing. His heart that is not one with that singing. Is that not sad? When he may labor all his life in the field of his Father. And there was never in his heart a moment's rejoicing. Oh, he had the labors, the duties, they are being performed day by day. But he receives not the greatest blessing because now there is a feast. And now that family, they may rejoice and they may partake of the blessings and the joys of all of those labors. And he is on the outside of it. He does not understand it. He does not comprehend it. Is that so with you too? All the duties, yes. And you are faithful in those duties, and that is a good thing, congregation. But, oh, are you still on the outside of that rejoicing, that singing in the heart of that true church of God? What is that rejoicing over? What is it that son he cannot enter into? That is a rejoicing over grace. That is a rejoicing over mercy. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. O congregation, the highest glory of God. What is it? That is to glory in His grace. That is to glory that God, that holy, that righteous God, that He is able to receive a guilty sinner again unto Himself. Oh, the reconciliation of a sinner unto God. That is now the highest glory. There is no glory that is greater than this. That is a glory that will honor and glorify His being, His essence, and all of His attributes. It will be so to the glory of His great majesty, of His justice, of His holiness, of His righteousness, but also His long-suffering, of His love, of His mercy, of His grace. No, there is no glory. There is no glory far and wide. There is no glory high or low that is greater than that glory, wherein the Lord will be glorified in the receiving of His people. Oh, who can fathom the very decree of the Father? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who is able to fathom that decree itself? Who is able to fathom the love of God which He has shown in His only begotten Son, even for that purpose? Because for scarcely for a righteous man would one die.
Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, who can fathom the goodness, the love of the Lord, in the working also of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, and that he may go after that people, oh, that he may bring them unto that place where they may begin to be in want, and that they may come unto themselves, oh, the work of that triune God, in that way of mercy and of grace that will be to the highest glory of God in reconciling sinners unto himself. But now that is something. That is something that elder son, he is standing so completely on the outside of. He does not understand this. He cannot enter into this. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, in these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Thus we have here a young man that cannot understand the rejoicing that is taking place in his father's house. And why? Because it is a rejoicing in grace. And to whom does grace look? Grace looks to one congregation who is unworthy. Grace looks to one who has sinned everything away. Grace looks to one who deserves himself to be cast away. But that was not the case of this man. No, he has not sinned anything away. And when he looks in his own life, he cannot find in himself a single transgression. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He does not need grace. No, and he cannot understand why there should be rejoicing in grace. Why? Because he was never unworthy. Is that you too? But there is more. There is not only that he does not understand it. No, we read, and he was angry. Thus it was not only that he did not understand, was not only that he could not enter into it, but there is rebellion, there is enmity in his heart against it. And why? Lo, he says, these many years do I serve thee. And now what, my father, is that worth? What does that merit? And he was angry. And why? What of all my work? And all my labors, they are now all set aside. I do not hear you rejoicing over my work. No, it seems that everything I have done, that does not count. You have forgotten it. He is insulted. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Who deserved that fatted calf, my father? That was not your son, your younger son. That was me. And what have you done? You have turned everything upside down.
To whom is the Lord speaking? He speaks concerning the Pharisees of the scribes. They are murmuring. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It is not only that they do not understand. It is not only that they cannot enter into it. But there is enmity. Enmity against what? Enmity against grace. Enmity against free grace. Why? They saw no need of this. Or they had no need of this themselves. They had not transgressed the commandments of the Lord. Nor they were among those people that to say, all these things I have kept from my youth up. They are among those people that say, come not near to me, I am holier than thou. They are among those people who, even if they will not say it with their lips, they say it in their heart. O God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And when it is so with us, congregation, then there is enmity. Enmity in our heart against grace. And why? Because in grace, all my labors are set to the side. All the way of repentance. The way of grace, congregation, we say, could it be easier? Could it be easier? Is it not so free? But there is now nothing that stands more in the way of receiving that grace than the lack of self-knowledge. What stands in our way? Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. That is what stands in our way. Do you know why, young people? Do you know why in our catechism that it begins with the knowledge of our misery? Do you know why that we always have to begin there? Because this lack of the knowledge of our misery, of self-knowledge, that is standing in our way to receive the grace of God. Here is now a man. He can see his brother's sins so clear. But he cannot see his own. That is now an ailment that is most common in the world and in the church and in our own hearts. He can see his brother's sins, but he cannot see his own. There is much commendation. Oh, we must commend, congregation, a pious walk in this world. We will never be sorry for those sins which we did not commit. But we do not need to sin outwardly in order to become the chief of sinners. Do you think so, children? Oh, if the Lord, if He will open up a little bit of what is in our heart, then we will go into the prison and sit next to the most vile criminal. Then we will not place ourselves above him, not one step. Then we will say, the Lord, He has kept me. He has kept me. And that is now the only reason that I am out of the prison. The sins of the deed, they are awful. but they are only a manifestation of that which lives in our heart. That is the worst. Can we find that also in the elder brother? Though that elder brother, he has remained in that field, that elder brother has no desire for his father. He has no desire for the communion with his father. No. We read that he wants to have a kid that he may make merry with his friends. Is his heart any different than his brother's? Though he was captain, though he may be in that field, were the desires of the heart of that brother any different than his younger brother? Not one whit. Not one whit. And though the Lord has kept this congregation in the field, and that our life that may be spotless and blameless in this world, oh, is our heart one whit different than any that have chosen to forsake the house of the Lord? Oh, how is it with us? Though now we attend every Sabbath day the church, do we have a desire for God? Be honest. We want the blessings. And why do we want the blessings? The apostle says we want the blessings that we may consume them upon our lust. But we don't want the Lord. There is no love for the Lord in our heart. And yet we say, neither transgressed I thy commandment at any time. We don't see it. And we do not sorrow for it. What was in the heart of that brother? I think he has not shed a single tear over his younger brother. There is no love. He has never once grieved for him. But his heart that is hard as a stone. And it is often that those who have outwardly sinned, they are despised, congregation, even in the church, by those whose lives are much more consistent. But we see not our own sin. And when we see not our own sin, then we have not the least compassion upon our weeping brother. The elder brother will not even call him brother. He says to his father, it is thy son. You own him. I disown him. And his eye is evil because his father is good. Oh, how man in his ignorance would limit the grace of God. What did David say? Oh, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, but let me not fall into the hands of man. Why? Because the mercies of the Lord are great, and that is not true of man. Oh, he is so hard. Pious walk, yes, commendable. Oh, let us never think different. Let us never say different. But the Lord, congregation, he searches the reins. He searches the heart. He tries the heart. And what does he find? What does it say in the Word of God? It says, none that doeth good he finds. None. Not one of us. Oh, it is not that we are so holy, no. It is that we do not see our sin. Blind to it. But our hearts are no different. But now that younger son, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. What did the elder son say? He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Is that not a great difference? Night and day. Therefore, there is place there is place in the heart of that younger son for grace, but not of the elder. How is it with us? Let us sing. Psalter 427, the fifth stanza. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows in the fifth stanza of Psalter 427. Our second thought, the fruit of this enmity, and what is that we read? And he was angry and would not go in. And thereby, congregation, he deprived himself of the greatest blessings. He will stay in the field and he will labor, but he will not rejoice in his father's house. Because of the enmity that is living in his heart to the free grace of his Father. And now indeed, that is now what we deprive ourselves of. In the enmity of our heart to free and sovereign grace. Oh, how gentle was the Lord Jesus with those Pharisees and with those scribes, the elder brother. Would not go in. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, his Father came out. And he came on not out to admonish him. He came not out to threaten him. He came not out to curse him. But he came out to entreat him. Oh, the Lord is not obliged to use entreaties. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. He is not dependent upon us for anything. But look how he represents himself in his holy word. He is pleased to so represent himself as one congregation who in our enmity will come and who will plead with us. The Apostle Paul says, now are we ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled unto God. Oh, how compassionate, how gentle was the Lord Jesus with these Pharisees. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. No, the Lord Jesus does not condemn what is outwardly good also in the life of those Pharisees and the scribes. When the rich young ruler came to him, what do we read? The Lord loved him. He loved him. No, it was not that eternal love. It was not that everlasting love. No. But he cannot but love what is good. He cannot but love what is right, even that which is outwardly right. But it is not enough. It is not enough. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he says, except your righteousnesses exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye cannot be saved. No, it has to be much greater. It must exceed it on every side. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And here the parable leaves off. And then we do not read anymore that the Lord Jesus tells what has become of the father's entreaties to his elder son. But then we can go to the history of which the Lord Jesus is speaking, and we may see what happened actually in history. And then we must say that for the most part, then that enmity that lived in the heart of those Pharisees and the scribes never was broken. The poor rejoiced, congregation. The poor rejoiced. The sick rejoiced at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They desired him in all their coasts. And then they may experience the deliverance of the Lord. They may experience his gracious words. And then they rejoiced. But when he cured the sick, then the Pharisees and the scribes, they clenched their fists in rage. When he healed the blind man, they took the blind man and they threw him out of the synagogue. And he forgave the sins of a man, and then they accused him of blasphemy. And finally, they crucified him. And he was angry and would not go in. And so they deprived themselves of the greatest blessings and joys of salvation. Do we do the same? And will we remain forever unbroken? After coming to and fro from the place of the holy all our life long. What is the greatest abuse of the Bible? That is, congregation, when we will climb, when we will climb with our duties to heaven. That is the greatest abuse of the Bible. We see it going on far and wide in our day. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes are going lost in this way. Bunyan, he says, I saw that there was a way to hell
even from the gates of heaven as well as from the city of destruction. No, we will say it again. We will say it again that we may be very, very clear that a pious walk, an outwardly right walk in this world, that is never, no, it is never to be condemned. It is never to be evil spoken of. No, the Lord says the opposite. Blessed, he says, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is he. But congregation, if we grow in this our religious life, then we are standing on the most dangerous ground. Oh, it is so dangerous when we become the converted person and we have never become the unconverted person. You may ask your father or your mother, children, when you come home, what that means. Oh, by the law is the knowledge of sin, we read. But unsanctified, we climb to heaven with the law. But that is now a place from whence we are surely going to fall. Oh, ask yourself this question. What is my sin? What is my sin? Can you find it? Do you know it? Can you name it? What your own sin is? Or it is possible we are in that field all our life. We cannot even name our own sin. Sure, we confess we are sinners. But in our heart, cannot find it. It is all not so bad. It is all not really transgression. It is all relative. And actually, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. That is the way that we go over this world. And congregation, as long as it is so, then we are standing upon a sandy foundation. A foundation that is going to give way in the storm is a foundation of merit which cannot stand. And our heart is at enmity with free grace, of which we know nothing, not even in the need. But Paul says, if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And if work is no more work, all congregation, as long as it remains so, we remain outside of what? We remain outside of the rejoicing that is going on this day, this moment, in the Father's house. Outside of that rejoicing by its beginnings in the time, and outside of that rejoicing forever and forever. We say we want heaven, yes, because we don't know what it is. We have no idea what it is. That is a rejoicing in the grace and in the mercy of God for an unworthy sinner. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and steadfast made my way. That is the rejoicing. O congregation, do we find our life in the life of this elder brother? Oh, be honest. Be honest.
with your own soul. Is that what is in our heart? Lo, these many years do I serve thee, Lord. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Is that actually what lays in our heart? We read of a Pharisee who was stopped. Pharisee who was stopped, and from converted he became unconverted. Who was that, boys and girls? Did not have to leave the church, no. That was Saul. And he was converted. But all of a sudden he was not converted anymore. What did he say? He says, the commandment came. The commandment came. Commandment ever come in your life? Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Then the commandment never came. But he said, then the commandment came. And then sin revived. Mm-hmm. Then I saw my sin. Then I died. That was a Pharisee. That was a Pharisee. There's hope for Pharisees? Oh, congregation, there is hope in one way. Oh, ask, Lord, that thy commandment may come. Why? That man sings today. He sings. He sings of what? Oh, he sings with that church. He sings with that younger brother, that younger son, that Pharisee. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, for I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. The commandment came. But he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it is now that grace to the glory of a triune God at which he sinks away and shall sink away to all eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, our hearts by nature have no place for grace, but it is thy way. Oh, it is an easy way. It is a simple way. It is so free, Lord. When we may ask thy children, then they will tell of it. Oh, look upon the congregation, each one of us in mercy. And wilt thou give thy commandment to come? And wilt thou open unto us our sin, that we may say, no more neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, but that we may be brought to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Then there is place for thee, and thou wilt be glorified. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely home. Give us meditation upon thy word. And a place upon our knees. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. Help us to bring and hear thy word. Cause thy blessing to rest upon it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 446, the fourth stanza. Hope in the Lord, O nation. For with him there is grace and plenteous salvation for all who seek his face. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 446.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.